Hey, Pardon My Take listeners. You can find every episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. This episode is brought to you by Body Armor Zero Sugar. The brand new zero sugar sports drink from our friends at Body Armor provides real hydration with no artificial sweeteners, flavors, or dyes. And whether you're looking to stay hydrated or recovering from a long weekend, Body Armor Zero Sugar has got you covered with great tasting flavors like fruit punch and lemon lime. Available in stores nationwide, head on over to Body Armor Store on Amazon and get yours today. This episode is brought to you by Body Armor Zero Sugar. The brand new zero sugar sports drink from our friends at Body Armor provides real hydration with no artificial sweeteners, flavors, or dyes. And whether you're looking to stay hydrated or recovering from a long weekend, Body Armor Zero Sugar has got you covered with great tasting flavors like fruit punch and lemon lime. Available in stores nationwide, head on over to Body Armor Store on Amazon and get yours today. On today's Part in My Take, we have the return of Tim Woods. Dungeons and Dragons is back. Very excited to talk to Tim. We pick up our adventure.
That's the campaign everyone's been talking about, yeah. Big Cat.
We got a little bit of a recap as well to start, so everyone, if you missed it or if you forget what's happened, he recaps it, and then we get into it. We also have Goldberg, wrestling legend, on the show. A little Monday Night Football cleanup, a little NFL free agency, nothing happened, hot seat, cool throne, and guys on chicks. Before we get to all of that, Pardon My Take is brought to you by
the... The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Okay. Let's go.
Now in the street there is violence, and not a lot of work to be done. No place to hang out or washing, and then I can't blame all on the sun. Oh no, we're gonna rock down to Electric Avenue.
Welcome to Part of My Take, presented by the Cash App. Go download it right now. Use code Barstool. You get $10 for free. $10 to the ASPCA. Today is Wednesday, November 4th. Decision 2020.
Whoop! Whoop! Whoop!
Some spread.
Some election.
We
started CNN, where Don, Mr. Unlimited, couldn't see the future coming, amigos.
And Chris Chet Hayes said, Booyakasha, Donald Trump Jamaican me crazy boy, me no one no MAGA girl.
Joe Biden goes seek, took an afternoon catnap, closed his eyes, and tried to count to 270.
And meanwhile, Mike, the artist formerly known as Pence, had enough of these red states and blue states, said it's time for a purple rain.
Purple rain.
And water Melania is used to spitting seeds, but she sure took a big one and proved she wasn't barren.
Donald had his daughters on stage singing,
My Trump, my lovely lady Trumps. Check it out.
Tiffany Trump was also there.
All right, we weren't actually going to talk about the election, but
it is actually 4:22.
Yeah, so if you hear bias, you actually are making it up, because mm-hmm. we have no idea what happened. We figured this show will be, like it always is, kind of an escape for everyone. We have Tim Woods. It's truly an escape. We're going to Dungeons & Dragons. We're going to a different world. We're
imagining
for this
ourselves
show.
In a fantasy land.
Yes,
we fighting are against dragons. We're sexually assaulting Billy's skull.
Yeah, so couldn't be farther from planet Earth or America right now. But we have a regular show. Yeah, whatever happened, happened. And we're going to instead talk some sports, talk some guys on chicks, hot seat, cool throne, fantasy land, Goldberg, PAX show. Let's start with Monday Night Football. A little cleanup. Daniel Jones loves throwing interceptions. It's actually the verbal meme, old girlfriend fumbling the ball, new girlfriend throwing picks whenever he can.
Oh, distracted boyfriend walking down the street.
Yeah,
So the distracted boyfriend is Daniel Jones. And actually, I think it might be Daniel Jones, the model, in that meme, now that I think about it.
Whereas Brooks Brothers.
He's looking over his shoulder, and it says, real swag. And then the former girlfriend is no swag.
Yeah. The Giants, and this is kind of, they're the perfect NFC East team that in the first half on Monday night, I legitimately said to myself, I'm going to bet on the New York Giants to win the NFC East because they looked great. And their defense is frisky.
If they wore those uniforms every single week, I would absolutely bet them to win the NFC East.
And then the second half happened because they do play two halves. And I wouldn't say the Bucs won the game as much as the Giants lost the game. And I'm not going to put – like, the Bucs, I still think, are a very, very good team. They're up there in the contenders category. I'm not going to, like, ding them for that because that felt – you could feel it almost from the beginning that it was one of those games where the Bucs thought they could just roll the ball out there and win. Mm-hmm. So you didn't get a A-plus effort from the Bucs, and they still won with their C game, which actually is a – better sign for a team that's like very good.
It was a trap game. This was a perfect trap game. It was a prime time spot. Billy, like
Saints
you Bucks like that?
Coming up next Sunday.
You like that phrase, trap game?
When one team shows up way more physical than a better team.
Yeah.
Trap
sure.
game.
Yeah, Joe Judge, he's got the boys ready to go out there and hit somebody in their mouth. They're not necessarily going to make all the plays, but towards the end of the game, I was definitely getting major flashbacks to Tom Brady against the Giants in years past.
Yeah.
When Daniel Jones is running around on like fourth and long, making those crazy passes, almost helmet-like catches. He was throwing the ball like 7 yards short, and then his receiver would find a little hole, get the first down. And then at the end, it came down to that last two-point conversion. That was close.
Well, it's hilarious. It's hilarious because Daniel Jones is so bad that his passes are so bad. It was pass interference, but the pass was so bad, you're like, but it can't be pass interference because his pass was so bad.
Right. It's like a quarterback that throws such uncatchable balls that it's impossible to call pass interference on him.
They really did. It was like, wait, that should have been pass interference, but no, because he actually threw it to such a bad spot that it was going to look like pass interference no matter what.
Right, exactly. Like, can you imagine deeming a pass by Dwayne Haskins to be uncatchable? It's like, well, they all are, bro.
Yeah.
That's what they all look like. And at the end, it did prove Jason Garrett correct. He said that Daniel Jones' biggest weakness is his biggest strength, actually, mm-hmm. which is the most Jason Garrett quote of all time.
Yep.
And I guess his biggest weakness is he's not accurate, so he threw the pass behind his running back and almost got a pass interference based off that.
Yeah.
And it almost ended up working out for him. I'm a little concerned with Bruce Arians, just with his health. I don't know.
His red face, his double glasses.
He's like a chameleon. He turns into the color of whatever uniform that he's wearing at the time.
Yes.
And he turned bright beet red. His double glasses look great. Maybe it's a matter of just the face shield that he wears magnifies the sun whenever he's standing out in it, so it gives him like a natural sunburn every time that he's out
there. Yeah, and he's, you know, the hat. The look was incredible. I'm trying to think, whatever. Like, it was a decent Monday night game. Going into it, you thought it was not going to be a good game, but the Giants did their best to make it a fun game. And, that was week 8 fully in the books now. I feel like we're turning the corner. We had the NFL trade deadline today, which is the most boring trade deadline of all sports. Sucks. There was, like, pretty much the best or the most interesting part of the trade deadline was Will Fuller started trending, and then he tweeted, like, waiting, you know, like, see where I'm going to go. And everyone said he was going to go to the Packers, and then nothing happened because
it's the Packers.
Well, and more than that, I think this is the first time that the Texans are really feeling the loss of Bill O'Brien, because from all reports, the Texans were asking for way too much. Whereas if it were Bill O'Brien still as the GM, the Texans would have traded Will Fuller for like a 6-round pick.
Well, what they were trying to do was they were trying to get the like the Brock Osweiler type thing, where the money became an issue. Where it's like, we want you to pay all of his salary as the team that's getting Will Fuller. And the Packers were like, no, we want you to still pay for Will Fuller even though you're using it. So it was a case of like Green Bay expecting the ghost of Bill O'Brien to still be around
right.
to take on that terrible deal. But it is the most Packers thing ever. I can't remember the last time the Packers either acquired a player in free agency, like a decent player, like a big name player, or traded for player. It just doesn't happen. I think that in Green Bay, they like players that don't know any better besides the Green Bay system, which is like, we're going to draft you. Aaron Rodgers is going to make you look good, or he's going to complain because his defense isn't good enough.
And
he's going
to throw you the ball.
You're going to have to deal with that.
Yeah.
You don't like players that have experienced life outside of Green Bay.
Right. And then the Patriots, Hank, going for it. Traded for Isaiah Ford.
Are the Patriots all in?
Is this a sign to the locker room that they're committed to winning this year?
I think so. I think it's the missing piece.
And on the flip side, the Dolphins. Wow. So the Dolphins are throwing in the towel.
Yeah, so
Isaiah Ford, 18 catches, 184 yards, zero touchdowns.
Okay.
That's
the
season.
Solid game.
That's the season. Uh-oh. Yeah.
How much
DK Metcalf half?
How much does he weigh?
He weighs,
I'm looking it up right now,
201 pounds.
Okay, so maybe they're just planning on fattening him up, turning him into a tight end.
Mm-hmm. 6'1", 201.
Do you see Florio's article today?
What about
titled it? "The Patriot Way Has Lost Its Way"?
Oh,
yep.
Yeah, Florio's.
Bill Belichick's excuse making could result in players making excuses.
See, Florio's not a football guy because he doesn't realize that Bill Belichick is actually doing his best coaching job this year.
That's true, and also he doesn't realize that Bill Belichick said, "I'm not making an excuse, but this is the excuse."
It is
what it is.
It is. The Patriots are paying. They're paying Brady. They're paying Antonio Brown still. I think they're still paying Steven Gostkowski. They're like in dead cap space. So he's not – Belichick's not totally wrong when he said that. I don't know. The NFL cap makes no sense. Contracts in the NFL make no sense.
I don't know what's going to look like next year either. Like the cap is supposed to go up after year.
I'm even saying just right now, like I don't – none of it makes sense.
There's dead cap space. People who are capologists I don't understand how their brains work, how they can understand all like the ramifications of cap hits, cap money that is incurred via signing bonus as opposed to like prorated cap hits.
Let's
and then
see.
There's offset
NFL
cap hits.
Salary cap. All right, overthecap.com. The one team that I actually is kind of interesting is I'm pretty sure the Saints are like wildly over the cap next year. Which makes me think that they already know that Drew Brees might retire.
What happens if you're just...
Yeah, Saints next year are $92 million over the cap.
That's a lot
of
money.
How's that even real? How can you do that?
Well, what's to stop a team from just ignoring the cap entirely and being like, do something about it, Goodell?
Well, looking at it right now, like $92 million over the cap next year, that is pretty much... Drew Brees has already told us that he will retire. So don't worry about it.
This might be Sean Payton saying a big fuck you to the NFL, too, because if he just continues on, if they, let's say they go into next year and there's still $90 million of the cap, then the NFL tries to either find them or collect draft picks, take away draft picks, do whatever you want to them. Then what happens if the Saints sue the NFL being like, hey, you're interfering with the free market.
Mm-hmm.
We should be able to pay people whatever we want. Then that case goes to like the Supreme Court. NFL loses its monopoly.
Oof.
The Saints could blow up the NFL if they wanted to.
Pre- or post-packed court.
Are they packing it?
I don't know.
How many people are in
it? I don't know. That's our politics talk. Yeah, the Patriots have $28 million in dead money. I don't know what that means. Seems significant.
Dead money.
It's dead.
I think it probably still spends
Panthers
the same.
Have $50 million in dead money. I don't know what that means.
My
either.
Guess is that's players that are no longer on the roster
right.
that they're still paying.
They're just dead.
Uh-huh.
Or dead players.
Or Aaron Hernandez. Does he count?
He's, yeah, still dead money.
Okay.
All right. Should we do Hot Seat, Cool Throne? This is going to be a nice, tight show, right, Hank?
Oh, I made one note
on
Monday night, and it kind of bubbled over from the weekend. I think we're seeing a record high amount of shin catches this year.
Mm.
That's a rule that I wasn't – I guess I had been aware of it in the past, but I was re-reminded of it.
Well, I think
– shin counts as 2 feet.
I think what happens is it's like when you buy a car and then all of a sudden you see the car, your car,
yeah,
everywhere.
The red car,
and
yeah.
you're like, oh, my God, everyone has this car. There was one significant shin catch. It was either this week or last week. And then since then, we're so dumb as NFL fans that we know the rules, but we have to be reminded it every now and then. So when we're reminded, we pick up little nuggets, and now we're walking around telling everyone, you know, if the shin goes down before the knee and the knee's out of bounds, that's a catch.
It's a catch. The shin counts as part of the knee, I guess.
Yeah, we love to go around pretending we're smart.
It was Diggs. It was the cornerback on the Cowboys. He had the shin interception.
Yes.
Where he caught it in the end zone, and then his shin, like, bent. Right. He had like a curved shin. Tony Romo was like, I think it's just a cramp. But yeah, it got down, and then, yeah, I see it everywhere now. I saw it on Monday Night Football. I'm going to be seeing it all year long.
It's like the little rules that are so much fun to like try to mansplain to no one. My favorite is the...
Well, if
when
you say it first at a bar, yeah, if you're watching with your friends, right, then you're smart as shit.
The best one is on a punt, when the punting team touches it, and then the receiving team can't fumble, mm-hmm, and everyone loves to say that, because you see a guy like run in, streak in, and grab the ball,
yep,
last second. And you're like, why would he do that? It's like, well, let me tell you why.
It's a free play, essentially. Yeah. Or
that's my favorite.
Or what about you can't advance a punt that's been blocked?
Yes.
I like that one, too, because everyone's like, that should be a first down, which I do kind of agree with, but it's fun to tell everybody
it should be
wrong.
A first down.
Yeah. I'm right. You're not.
But it is fun to do that with rules every now and then to try to tell everyone. Billy, you got any rules you think about?
Making a football move.
Yeah, yeah, making everyone a football move. Everyone talks about
what counts as a football move. Did Gronk make a football move in the end zone?
Yeah. Oh, when they switched, you know, it was a great moment in time when they switched it so that you could push out of bounds.
Yes.
And everyone was like, wow, like, oh, that's pushing out of bounds. No, 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 no.
Change the rule.
Nope, they changed the rule.
You're thinking of college, my friend.
Yeah, uh-huh. Sorry that you're too dumb to figure it out. They should make it. Could you imagine how many points would be scored in the NFL if it was 1 foot in bound?
That would be amazing.
Like, because the body control in the NFL is already so insane, and to have just 1 foot, oh, give it to us.
When I'm watching a college game, I always look for players. Like, if it doesn't matter how spectacular the catch is, if a player only gets 1 foot down in bounds,
yep,
I'm like, I'm going to dock that guy in my pre-draft rankings and my
it's
big
board.
It's
not going to work in the big leagues.
Listen, that stuff doesn't play once you get out there on Sundays.
Not
okay?
On Sundays, yeah. all right, let's do Hot Seat Cool Throne. Hot Seat Cool Throne is brought to you by...
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
All right, Hank, hot seat, cool, throne.
My hot seat is the Warriors.
The Golden State kind?
Yes, the San Francisco Warriors. They moved from Oakland to San Francisco.
True.
But yesterday they released jerseys for this year that say Oakland on them.
Mm-hmm.
And in the tweet it said, Oakland is and always will be part of our team's identity. And like it's like the Oakland Forever jerseys. And it got Warriors fans really mad because they left Oakland. And
right,
apparently there's like a lawsuit going on that the Warriors lost. And they still owe Oakland like $40 million for renovations.
Ooh, they should...
So kind of like a dumb PR move to be like, oh yeah, you know, we're gonna leave town and then be like Oakland forever. It's like
that's yeah, it's kind of crazy. It's not talked about enough that Oakland lost two sports franchises in 2 years.
It is yeah, heartbreaking.
I mean, they obviously the Warriors are right across the bay, so you can make the argument that like, oh, they're still right there, but still,
it should
like,
say Frisco on the jerseys right
yeah,
now.
That's bullshit.
It is messed up that they did that.
Yeah,
I just thought of a really bad Kate Upton boobs joke. Permission okay, to go there?
Yeah.
Yeah, Hank, you're right. That is fucked up that they did that, even though they moved. Kind of like the Nets, even though they're in Brooklyn, they unveiled a new jersey the other day.
Oh, nice. Nice. Get it?
Mm-hmm.
New jersey?
Although
new jersey.
I do like the Nets' new jerseys.
Oh, yeah. It's
oh,
awesome.
They're
sick.
Sick. Yeah.
They're very sick. All right. Cool throne?
My cool throne is rock, paper, scissors.
Yeah?
Iona and Hofstra. They are having their mascots play rock, paper, scissors, shoot to determine who gets a home game this year.
Love it.
This also,
are they televising it?
They are doing it on
don't,
social media.
Don't.
It's just one of my don't, favorite things to argue about.
Oh, I thought you were going to say.
I
no,
think,
oh,
I,
no, no, no.
My
no,
only question.
Iona's head
I was,
coach. You think
I was
start
not
making jokes
that,
so we don't
no,
make.
My only question, because we are, you know, we have talked about developing a rock, paper, scissors shoot for the Play Barstool app. I'm just wondering what the format's going to be. Like, do you do
first of all,
best
I think it should
three,
be rock,
best of 10,
paper, scissors.
First to 10.
Billy versus Jake right now. Best of three.
Rock, paper, scissors, says, shoot.
Oh,
Billy says. Yeah. No, it's rock, paper, scissors,
and Billy
shoot,
was late, and he still lost.
I said say shoot.
It's
rock, okay,
paper, scissors, shoot.
Yeah. Why would rock, paper,
right,
scissors
start over,
say
stop
shoot?
Stop saying rocks. It's
that's
rock.
A fucking,
I don't know.
That's
I don't
another
know,
New
paper,
York.
Scissors, shoot.
I have no good
all right, so
for
go
it,
rock, paper, scissors, shoot.
Okay.
All right, best of three.
Okay. Rock, paper, scissors, shoot.
All right, Billy's
oh,
up 1-0.
Rock, paper, scissors, shoot.
Billy
one,
did scissors
one,
every time.
Rubber match.
Done scissors every time.
Scissors, shoot.
Billy's done scissors, scissors every time.
Scissors.
Billy's done scissors every time.
Oh, and he switched to rock.
Jake, just do rock. Billy did scissors six times in a row.
Yeah, but he doesn't know how to say rock, paper, scissors, shoot.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. But I still won.
All right, so yeah, Billy is officially the winner of that. Who's the better? You guys aren't either interns anymore, are you?
I don't know.
I think Billy still is.
And you are?
Yeah, I got to graduate.
Okay, mm-hmm. All right. PFT, your hot seat, cool throne.
My hot seat is slutting it up. Mm. Slutting it up is firmly on the hot seat. Halloween is over.
Spooky season.
Spooky season's done. And Roger Goodell fined James Conner and Juju Smith-Schuster for wearing socks that were too low. They exposed their gams. Their calves were out.
Yep.
Victorian Goodell in the NFL says, no. You got to keep those calves covered up. And so he levied a big fine. That's one of my favorite fines that the NFL does, is like when your socks are not at the correct level.
Yes.
And if you go too high, he'll fine you for that too.
Yes.
He's got to be right in the Goldilocks zone there.
Yes.
And my other hot seat is Darren Revelle. Because Nate Silver called him disqualifyingly stupid today. He got disqualified from Twitter today. That's how you know how stupid
we've been waiting so
you
long
have to
for
be
that.
Yeah. To get disqualified from Twitter. It's like everyone is an idiot on Twitter.
Right. Do you want to be on Twitter? Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, you're disqualified from Twitter.
It's in the terms of service.
Yeah.
And so Darren Revelle got put into a locker by the locker. But Darren Revelle got pulled into a locker by Nate Silver, who lives his life in a locker.
Yeah, he's just like, hey, get over here.
You're in here with me.
Uh-huh.
My cool throne is baseball staying relevant. Baseball's relevancy. So, Big Cat, tonight is the presidential election. Maybe the biggest presidential election in terms of viewership and voter turnout in the last, 50 years. You know what baseball is doing tonight? Baseball is announcing their Gold Glove Awards tonight.
Yeah.
During the election.
Way to go, baseball.
I could not make that up. I'm pretty sure that when we talked about baseball staying relevant in the past, I'm pretty sure we made a joke about them doing something like this on election night.
They did it last year on something very significant, too. I think they are doing this on purpose.
It might have been like the All-Star announcement during NBA free agency. I don't know.
They're doing this 100% on purpose.
It's insane.
Yeah.
I can't, what the fuck? What are you doing?
Unbelievable.
My other cool throne is dynasties. Texas Tech. Texas Tech continues their dynasty. Texas Tech won its 15th national meat judging championship.
Whoa.
They are the world's best meat peepers. Shout out to Texas Tech University.
Who is judging the meat judgers?
No, they actually have a huge agricultural school where they judge butcher meat.
So
like
we
USAD.
Should send them a pick of Norman.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep, we should have the boner judging competition.
It's done with the norm.
No,
look at this loin.
I'm happy.
You guys remember when I did I did all those niche podcasts?
Yeah.
One of them was a Texas Tech grad who is a champion meat judger. He's basically like Billy for steroids.
Yep,
but just for animals. You'd Billy. You'd be a great meat judger.
I've looked into it actually.
You should. Yeah. You should pursue that.
Texas Tech is the Harvard of judging meat.
I like it.
Yeah,
I like it.
I just don't get who is judging the meat judgers.
Oh, good question.
They have to have judges.
Maybe that's what Billy should do. You got to judge the meat judges.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm guessing that person went to Texas Tech.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. And so,
good point.
Hank's
Hank.
Right.
Good
this
point.
Is this smells.
It stinks. It stinks
it
to high
stinks.
Heaven.
This isn't good meat.
Think about where's the beef.
Mm-hmm.
Texas.
Yeah.
Where's the beef? No, sure. But you understand what Hank's saying, right?
Yeah.
Texas Tech won for meat judging, but who's judging Texas Tech to win the
to
meat?
Give
judger?
Them 15 titles.
Who's judging the meat judges?
The panel of the best meat judges.
And where are they from?
Where they
probably
go to
Texas Tech.
Yeah. What has the most prestigious, the best meat program
it's
in America.
Complete bullshit.
I feel like Oklahoma has good meat judging.
Oklahoma probably hates Texas
Tech.
It's
like Desmond Howard on game day saying Michigan is back.
Yeah.
What are we doing here?
They should recuse themselves like Herb Street and Chris Fowler do for picking that night's game.
Yes, yes. I love
you get a scholarship for it.
For meat judging?
Yeah.
For looking at a cow and being like, that animal would be good to eat.
Well, it's once they're in the meat locker.
Oh, so after they're dead?
Yeah, they're judging the meat.
Well, then
in the
I
meat
mean,
locker.
How hard is that? You just be like, that looks good.
I don't think no, Billy,
that's
I
meat.
Think you're wrong.
No,
that's
no,
meat.
It's the scene in Rocky.
Yeah,
you know the scene in Rocky in the meat locker.
Wait,
where
what?
He's punching it?
What does he do?
I read an article in Sports Illustrated. They're all in white lab coats, kind of, but
punching meat.
They're checking out the meat slabs.
I don't know. I feel like it's an agricultural thing where you look at it in a live cow and you try to figure out which one would be the...
Yeah, you look in their eyes and you're like, what would you be like? your temperament.
Google Belgian blue cattle.
Okay, well, actually, Billy, that if you know anything delicious. About meat judging, just you would know it. That the most tasty cow of all time is Heat Wave, and Heat Wave's bloodline lives on to this very day. And if you buy a
holy
direct
shit.
Descendant
you,
Google
this,
of Heat Wave,
this is the most Billy cow of all time.
Just Google Belgian blue cow.
Belgian blue cow.
Cattle.
It's the jacked up one.
Yeah,
yeah, it's the one that's on steroids.
On steroids.
But
selective breeding for high muscle.
But who wants to eat the muscle?
Texas Tech dubbed this spring by Sports Illustrated as the Alabama football of the meat judging world.
Yeah, this guy's a fucking beast. I'm not going to say what I was going to say.
Say it. Go off.
I mean, this cow is like, what, 2,000 pounds?
Probably like a ton.
Norman still has a bigger dick than this cow. Like, it's not
okay,
even close.
I mean, that's a fact.
It's a fact. Uh-huh. Like, Hank's little 10-pound dog has 20. A bigger dick. 20 pounds.
Now, I should 20? Note.
Yeah.
No.
Penis-to-body yeah. ratio.
Penis-to-body ratio.
Different than
yeah.
actual mass.
Ratio, I think his dog's dick is as big as Leroy's dick, and Leroy is 20 times bigger. And Leroy's got a decent hog, too. But right. I should, I, in the spirit of getting this story right with the capital J journalism, it was an abbreviated season due to COVID.
Ah.
So... asterisks on this
important
one.
To note,
yep.
Important to note. Important to note. All right. My hot seat is all other college football conferences because the MAC is back. You're listening to this right now. The MAC is officially back. MACtion, six games tonight. We have maybe my favorite bet that we've ever created on the Barstool Sportsbook app. It is Lights, Camera, MACtion, where you can bet on the total number of missed kicks and extra points and turnovers.
In one game?
Or, in all or for, games combined.
For that night?
Yes. 28.5 is in the line.
Holy
shit. If you bet it, you get a free shirt even if you lose.
What I really like about the MACtion this year is that Big Cat has adopted the MACtion as that whole conference is now his team. So because Wisconsin, I don't know if Wisconsin's going to play another game this season. So now you're just officially a
MAC. Well, the MAC is always
I know you've
my
always
team.
Liked
no, the,
it, but
no,
now
Wisconsin's
officially.
Going to play another game. They're going to play another game. Don't COVID shame.
I'm not. I'm saying
remember,
maybe
you still have
you guys
that key to the city.
Football.
Yeah.
Toledo.
That's true. I got to pick up that key to the city. All right. So, yeah, bet it. If you,
responsibly.
Yeah, responsibly bet it. 1-800-GAMBLER if you got a problem. But the MAC is back, and I'm very, very excited for the MAC. And also, Cooper Rush might be playing for the Cowboys. From Central Michigan, Fire Up Chips, and one of the greatest MACtion games of all time that wasn't fully MACtion in the Bahamas Bowl when they scored 34 points in the fourth quarter.
You got to give DiNucci another chance.
Yeah, maybe. So my cool throne is actually the Cowboys. The Cowboys are on my cool throne, and here's why. Cowboy fans, rest easy. Everything's going to be okay. Stephen A. Smith has declared that it's not even fun to make fun of the Cowboys anymore.
I disagree, Stephen A. Smith.
Stephen A. Smith said... Marcus Spears, let me say this to you. This is on First Take. You know how I like to troll Cowboys fans because I can't stand those noisy and disgusting people? I like how he's taking it easy and just be like, these people are the worst. I can't stand Cowboys fans. They're the worst. But I didn't joke around this past weekend because it's not funny to me. It was so bad. It was so bad what I saw from them. It was just a national embarrassment. I'm serious about that. So there you go. You... The number one Cowboy hater is officially laying down his sword and saying, rest easy, Cowboys.
Well, it's because he didn't do his video that he normally does after a Cowboys loss. He said that he decided to throw out a mercy rule. It wasn't in my heart to do that to them because they're so pathetic. I actually felt sorry for them. But Stephen A. Smith is such a genius that by saying this, this is the most
yeah.
this is the most he could right. ever make fun of. He yeah. knows going into it that saying you're not even worthy to be made fun of.
I feel so bad for you, I can't even make fun of you.
That's the most that you can make fun of a Cowboys fan because really, over the past 30 years, or not 30 years, over the past 25 years, that's all you've been doing is been making fun of Cowboys fans for not being that good.
Correct.
It's not like they've been awesome and you get to make fun of them when they finally fail. He is just trolling them by being like, I'm taking away the very last thing, the very last like smidge of relevancy that you have is me making fun of you when you lose. This is the meanest thing that we could ever do to
yes.
you on ESPN is ignore you entirely.
Yes, yes. So, Cowboys fans, sorry, but that's, yeah, I mean, I guess it's a good thing that you don't get made fun of anymore by Stephen A. Smith. Billy, your hot seat cool throne before we get to Tim Woods and Goldberg.
Hot seat Wisconsin.
Don't COVID shame.
Because if they have one more game canceled, they're not eligible for the Big Ten championship game.
Are yeah. they still bowl eligible? Because everybody was supposed to be
yes,
bowl eligible.
Yes, everyone is bowl eligible. I don't know what's going to happen. I, whatever. It sucks. But you know what?
I'm worried about player safety.
Hey. At least you guys didn't have a, you know, Heisman level quarterback this year.
Oh, thank you for saying that about Graham Mertz. He's a sophomore, so we'll have him for the – and I don't think this year should count. So we'll have him for the next three, four – he redshirted, so this – he'll have him for four more years. Perfect.
At least the New England Patriots didn't have an MVP quarterback this year that they had to give up on.
Am I cool throwing?
I think the Patriots are still making the playoffs.
They do play the Jets on Monday night, so there you go.
Oh, yeah, do I have to go to that?
Yes.
Okay.
With a GoPro.
Okay.
Yep.
Got to think about that.
You got to find the cat. You got to...
I'll be the cat guy.
You can...
I'm going to dress up as this exterminator.
Yeah, you can go... To get the cat. You don't have to go to the game go to the Meadowlands and just find a cat. So, like, once you get the cat, you can go home.
Just show up with, like, a bunch of tuna fish cans.
Yeah.
Open it up in the parking lot.
A black cat.
Yeah.
It's got to be black?
Yep. Yep.
Okay. My cool throne is humans. Walmart has stopped using robots to do inventory because they realized that humans were actually just as effective and cheaper. So cool throwing humans.
We're cheaper than robots?
We've reached
There's
the
also
point
no way that they're just as effective.
Humans? Robots?
Yeah.
The robots were...
Human error.
Just as effective.
Robots don't make mistakes.
Computer error.
No, but the robots were like 6 foot wheeling around like Doctor Who type.
Who programs the robots? Humans do. So there's human error in the robots as well.
But anyway, the humans...
Like this is like a meat grader, judger
situation. Yeah, well, the humans beat robots, so you know what?
Do you think that the robots are just going to sit there and take that? Humans coming in taking their jobs?
I don't know.
It'd be interesting to find out.
Employment.
Yeah, employment in general. All right, good job, Billy.
Thanks.
Yeah, it's good job.
Good job, Jake. Jake gave me my cool throne.
Nice.
Good job,
Jake. Thank you for coming. Yes.
Good job all around. Good teamwork.
Good job, guys. Good job.
Very cool.
All right, let's get to Billy's. When we're nice to Billy, he gets so confused.
You did a great job, Billy.
You did a great job.
Nice of you to dress up today.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Election day. All right, let's get to our interview. We got Tim Woods, Dungeons & Dragons, and we'll have Goldberg. Before we get to Tim Woods, new sponsor alert.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget. Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
And now, Tim Woods. Okay, we now welcome on our good, good friend. It is Tim Woods. It's been a little bit of a break because we had football season to attend to, but Tim,
congratulations.
Yes, thank you.
I'm glad they all came back, yeah.
I like that just a congratulations that football is being played. I really appreciate that. So,
absolutely.
So we have I absolutely like the tweet I get the most is like, so when's Dungeons & Dragons coming back? And we figured this is a perfect time. So, Tim, we need a refresher because
– Absolutely.
Yeah, give us everything exactly where we are and then we can hop right back into it.
For sure. It's been a while since our last game, so a recap is definitely in order. I will give us the summarized version of our adventure so far, which is we came rolling into the village of Greenest, completely saved the town despite the betrayal of our ally, Berserker Billy, who turned the dragon kind of against us. We did save the village of Greenest from the attack of the cult of the dragon, then kind of went after the cult to their home turf, where we discovered that there were some prisoners to be freed. We did save a griffin whose name was Blake. We also fought a revived version of Berserker Billy, who had been summoned by the dragon cult against us, made short work of him at the end of the day.
Well, it more of a like a long torturous project that we had with Billy? We certainly took our time disposing of his corpse.
The battle was short. The disassembly of Berserker Billy did take some time. And actually, I did want to get a confirmation on this, unless I made a mistake. mistake, I believe it was the griffin who devoured Berserker Billy's head. If I'm wrong about that, feel free to correct me. But
and did he pass the head out? Did he poop the head out yet, or is he still digesting that?
It's interesting you should say that, because one thing I would note as we're starting today is that we are starting to hear a muffled sound from out of Blake the Griffin's stomach area. And if, depending on what actions we were to take, who knows what that sound might develop into. But it sounds like a muffled voice kind of coming from inside the Griffin, for sure. And in theory, we had managed to escape not just with a new Griffin friend and a disassembled Berserker Billy pieces. We did manage to grab from a creature known as the Roper, who is guarding this hatchery. We had managed to grab not one, not two, not three, but a total of 8 dragon eggs. As various characters ran through grabbing eggs on the way out, we have escaped from this dragon hatchery with a total of 8 different multicolored eggs of all different scaled hues. And at the very least, we know this, that we are escaping with a small fortune worth of eggs if we were to decide to sell these items. Otherwise, there's many other uses that we could make out of these particular items that we have just acquired. But we are hightailing it into the woods out of this kind of back exit, out of the cult's hatchery. And by all accounts, we think that they have not, you know, when we set the guardrakes, the minions that we had turned to our side after them, they were busy fighting those guardrakes while we made good on our escape. And I would kind of start us today camping, as it were, after a long day of running from the dragon cult. We are now definitely safe from any pursuit with the dragon eggs in tow, and we're going to have to make a tough decision as we sit around the campfire. This is where our adventure would start. We've got Norm the Barbarian, Wayne the Bard, Erlik the Warlock, and Cake the Wizard all gathered around with these dragon eggs near the fire. And I will say that we're all, number one, no longer level 3. We've just bumped up from level 3 to level 4, which gave us a few more hit points and a few more little powers that I'll highlight along the way.
Built different.
I would start by letting us know that we're also hearing some noise. South of our campsite, there's kind of a crashing noise. We're also hearing a rustling from a very much closer bush directly to the west of us.
Are we?
I would ask, what would people want to be doing right now? Or what would you be discussing around the campfire?
Might not be a bad idea to crack open one of those dragon eggs and make an omelet.
Can we do that?
You absolutely could go to one of the dragon eggs. Now, I want to highlight there's 8 different dragon eggs. I want to point out that one of them is the color red, one is blue, and one is green. 2 are black, 2 are white, and 1 is a rainbow, a prismatic colored egg with all different colors on it.
I think what we do is, to in effort of fairness and equality, I think we crack one of the white eggs and one of the black eggs, because we have 2 of both. So we're not losing. Now we have all the colors in the rainbow, and we've eaten a black and a white egg.
Those are the 2 that you have extras.
There we go. Perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect.
And Tim, can I just say that I've so dearly missed you saying the word absolutely.
Yes.
It's music to my ears.
It's always a pleasure. I tell people all the time, it's D&D is a fun game where we just affirm everything we're going to do.
Yep.
It's never a wrong answer. There just might be interesting consequences. And in this particular case, as you are approaching these eggs and picking them up and then carrying them over to the campfire with all intents of you're either going to just crack these open right now or maybe cook them or something, suddenly you do hear more crashing distantly from the south. And then from that bush to the west, there's actually a voice calling out of the bush, crying out, no, the egg, please, don't. And it's a female voice, a human woman, is emerging from out of the bush. She is wearing these whitish, silverish robes. It doesn't look like she's been traveling through the woods for a long time. Her robes look really, really nice. And she reads out and says, please, don't just break them. Don't just destroy them. They're valuable. They're precious.
Can she hatch them? Like Khaleesi?
Ooh, good question, Hank. So, can she sit on these eggs for us?
She, when you ask her that, this woman laughs and says, "No, well, you don't sit on them. Here, watch. The white egg you should place far away from the fire if you want it to hatch. It's a cold dragon. It's not going to like those flames. And that black dragon egg, I can help you with that." And she reaches for the egg. Are you offering up the egg?
Yeah.
Are we just giving it to her?
Yeah, dude. Trust her.
Is she cool?
She seems pretty down to clown.
Is she a cool-ass chick?
If anyone is not sure whether they trust her, you are free to roll a d20 to make an insight check.
I want
to
do an insight check. I want to do an inside check.
Wow.
I want to just be like...
PFT is trying to kill the vibe.
Karen FT.
Yeah.
10. I got a 10.
Jesus, man.
And Wayne, it looks like your insight skill is +0, I'm sorry to say.
Yeah,
so
I'm
you just
dumb.
Got a flat 10 on that. As far as you can tell, she just cares about these eggs. She seems
all right.
trustworthy.
She
yes.
seems cool.
Mm.
Yeah, here's the egg.
Okay. I also,
she's attractive
I would like it
enough.
On the record that I would like to tell her sorry that PFT the Bard just bothered you. I just want to say that to her.
Absolutely. She shrugs
sometimes.
It off. She's just staring
cool,
at the egg.
Cool,
she
cool.
seems to be barely even paying attention to like anything people are saying to her. She just says, this poor baby, oh, well, we need some kind of marsh gas or swamp water or something.
Some what
for
gas?
Marsh
one.
Gas. Marsh
and his
marsh
twin
gas.
Brother over here. If we can get some kind of swamp water, that's really the environment this egg is going
okay.
to want. You weren't planning on eating this thing, were
no.
you?
No. Can I just tell her that I'll just say like out loud to Wayne. You're Wayne, right?
No, I'm Norm.
You're Norm. I want to
say
big
ass cock.
I want to say out loud to Norm. Norm, it's so cool that you know how to handle this egg because you got a baby at home and you got to make sure that you're taking good care of it.
Yep.
I just want to let Norm know that in front of the girl.
Mm-hmm. That's
absolutely.
What makes you dependable.
She seems like she's focused on our eggs right now
okay.
and is in
yep.
fact moving
strike
over
out number
to
two.
Like, grabbing some of the others.
Okay. So, all right. So we need some swamp water. Is that what we... Now, I don't want to give all of our eggs. I will give... I'll side with PFT a little bit. Let's let her try to hatch a couple of these. Let's not give up every egg.
Mm-hmm.
That feels dangerous.
Absolutely. She's gonna hopefully try to take the white and the black egg that you were about to do something with, and
yep.
she's moving the white egg far away from the fire right now. The black egg, you see her starting to like dig a trench almost, and it's obvious that she knows exactly how to hatch these different eggs. She's looking at the others, making plans in her head. Wayne the Bard would be able to tell that even with a 10 right now. But with the 10, you can also tell this. There's another crash to the south, and then she turns and looks in that direction, and she says, did you all hear that? And with a 10, you know she's asking us if we heard that, but she heard it very clearly, and she knows something about that crashing that she's not saying
it's,
right now.
It sounds
you know
to me like, you remember in Jurassic Park when raptors would hunt, and there would be one to the side that distracts you while the
yeah.
other one comes at you? I feel like this
We're
chick
getting
is,
hunted.
This chick is bad news.
Uh-oh. Okay.
She's bad news.
Anyone... Since you only got a 10 on insight, anybody else could try to roll insight as well and see how they do on that. Otherwise, you could try to like persuade her or intimidate her if you wanted to spill more info. Right now, she seems like she's being honest with us.
Okay, I'll roll.
Very worried about that crash.
15.
And with a 15, I know you've got a little bit of bonus on that. It looks like a +2 on this norm. No, only a +1. But still, a 16 is enough that, yes, you can tell that she knows exactly what the crashing noise is to the south.
Oh.
She's very worried about it, you
oh.
can tell. Sincerely, you think she's worried about it, but she's not saying more about what the crashing noise is because she is hiding something from
Ooh.
Us. You don't know what, but she's hiding a secret.
You wanna like
at
a
the very
sign.
Least she knows what that thing to the south is.
You wanna send our journalist there to see if
yeah.
he can do some reporting
yeah, yeah,
for us?
Yeah. Why don't you go yeah. in there? Is Jake's mic on?
Test. There we go.
There we
yeah.
go.
I will go into the field for the team.
Yeah,
okay.
let's
yeah.
send you. Let's embed you with this
yes.
woman.
Go yeah. find out, Jake.
All right, let's do it.
You start to head to the south where that crashing is coming from, Cake. Is that right?
Yeah.
If you're approaching cautiously, you could either use your stealth, which is only a +3, or you could use your perception is also a +3. My mistake. So either way, you can roll a d20 plus 3 to see if you can approach this noise without being seen or heard yourself by all whatever right. it is.
Here we go.
Yeah, D20 plus 3.
11.
Okay. And that is that before the plus 3?
14.
So it's a 14 total.
Yeah.
With a 14, you are moving into a clearing where you see some trees have been knocked over, and there's a hazy green gas that is floating in the air, it seems, that was not in other parts of the forest that you were moving through. And then suddenly something pokes its head out from around a tree. It is a dragon that is the size of a large horse, spreading its wings, stepping out from around the tree. It has green scales all over its body and kind of a very dinosaur-like fin kind of growing out at the top of its back. It is a very Jurassic Park type moment as you realize that this dragon has you in its sights and is starting to slither closer to you, moving on all four of its limbs. What do you do, Kate?
Do I have any powers?
Sorry to say you got spotted.
What powers do I have?
You have a lot of spells at your disposal. I want to warn you right now that if you start moving full speed, you'll move quicker. If you move and then also cast a spell, you'll move a little bit slower, but maybe you'll slow this dragon down. And you do have ice magic spells that can slow creatures down. You have fire magic spells that usually deal the most damage. Also, since you've leveled up, you would have access to new spells, including a spell called Earthbind that anchors flying creatures to the ground that you can try to use that.
Yep, we're going for that.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Not you're noticing around. Things starting to spread its wings, and you think it's a lot faster flying than it is on the ground. Mm. So suddenly you start to cast your Earthbind spell. These yellowish tendrils come leaping out of the ground and wrap up the wings of this creature. And now I need to roll a saving throw as the dragon struggles. It is trying to break free of the Earthbind spell. I am sorry to say, Cake, that I just rolled a critical hit, a natural 20 on the die. The dragon, with barely any efforts, flexes its wings, and there is a popping sound like rubber bands snapping, and your Earthbind spell is completely broken. The dragon says in Draconic, which I know your character speaks, "Well, that didn't go so well," and starts laughing at you. You can tell that this is a female young dragon. And if you want to know more facts about it, you do have very good arcana. If you feel like information right now is important, you still have a chance to roll an arcana check before your turn is done.
Yeah, let's learn more about this.
I want it on the record just as a timeout real quick. Billy is in the room. He's obviously dead like 6 different times. But Tim, he has his headphones in, and when you said it's a very young female dragon, his head popped up.
Okay, so, he noticed that.
Yeah,
I would say we notice from inside the griffin's stomach, like there's a lump that's kind of turning.
That's
like,
his boner.
Like something inside of its stomach. Yeah, his attention has been laid, for sure.
A little internal boner.
Depending on how much what exactly we feed the griffin will determine whether or not the griffin vomits up any items. But so far, it is only muffled noises we are hearing from the griffin.
Okay.
Cake, you could try your arcana check. You have plus 5. You have upgraded to a plus 6 on this now.
All right.
That's a crazy toss.
5.
Here. Crazy toss.
Plus 6. I'll tell you the basic information. With a plus 6, you got an 11. So the basic information is this. This is a young green dragon, and you believe that green dragons are poison dragons. They are forest dragons, but their element is poison, and that means they breathe a poisonous breath. That is what these green hazy fumes are in the air, and they are immune to poison. So you know not to use poison damage against a green dragon, but that is the only information you know so far about this dragon. And since the dragon has spotted you, I'm going to need us to roll into initiative now. I'm happy to say the dragon rolled bad on initiative, but each of us are going to need to roll a d20, and I will tell us what bonus to add. Most of us, actually all of us, have a plus 2 bonus on this, except Cake has a plus 3 bonus on this.
20.
So if everyone rolls a d20, check out their results. Ooh, Wayne, was that you with a 20?
Yep.
Then you got a 22, and Wayne, you'll almost definitely be leaping into action first.
Let's go.
I got a 10.
6.
A 10, and that's a 12 total for Norm then. That's good news. And how did you do, Cake?
6.
Yeah, he's bad at this game.
Ooh.
Straight up.
And we're a team. I'm literally sacrificing my life for you guys, and you're treating me like SHIT.
Just be better.
It's a 9 total. The good news is you'll go ahead of the dragon, but not ahead of your teammates. And let me ask how Ehrlich the Warlock did.
I got a 4.
Oh!
Again, you're going ahead of the dragon. That's the good news. But right now, of the teammates, you are going to be the last to react.
Yikes.
Now,
good job, Jake.
Wayne, on your turn first, you would be leaping into action. I would say that right now, Cake is kind of one move away from you. So you could use your move to catch up to him. And then you have your action to cast a spell or do an attack. And you still have your bonus action to inspire somebody, if you would like to inspire anybody in this situation.
So wait, who's it? I think it's you.
Is that me?
Sorry, yeah, that's the PFT playing Wayne the Bard.
Okay,
yeah.
So yeah, roll the 20.
Absolutely.
I think I would like to... I really want to still impress this chick. She seems like she's cool.
This woman's running after you.
Can I tame the dragon in front of her and show her, like, you know, I'm a like a wild stallion has been tamed underneath my spells, and then she'll get really impressed and want to go, you know, hang out with me, maybe get a couple flagons of ale later.
Absolutely. So I'll ask you, there's two ways you could do this. You could either try animal handling the skill, which would probably very much offend a dragon who is a talking sentient creature. You could try to persuade it with your very good deception skill, or you have one spell called suggestion. Charm person, your normal spell for hypnotizing people, doesn't work against dragons, but suggestion would. And that's exactly like Jedi mind trick, basically. You go, I think you should do this. And as long as it's a reasonable course of action and the dragon fails its saving throw, then it is going to obey whatever that suggestion is.
You know what I want to do? I want to introduce this dragon to Blake Griffin. I want to introduce him and maybe try to set them up together. Mm-hmm. I feel like maybe they would get along really well.
All right. Yeah. I mean, so far you can tell Cake did determine this is a female dragon.
Yeah.
Blake is a male griffin. You're not sure how that works, but we'll find out if it is a reasonable suggestion in just a moment. And so you're trying to set the two of them up. Do you have a specific wording on what you're saying to this dragon?
Yeah, my friend over there thinks you're really cute.
Okay, that's great. Like, excellent. All right. So let's see how the saving throw goes. And with a total of an 8 on the saving throw, that is not a success against your spell save DC. The dragon looks and then does a double take. And then you see her raise one eyebrow. And she doesn't say anything, but you know she is considering... Why does this griffin like me? And she starts to spread her wings to make them look more majestic. Mm. She's turning kind of like a cat, showing off different, like, my scales are quite gleaming, are they not? Mm. And it seems like she is more intrigued than definitely interested, but curious about why exactly this griffin might be feeling this way. We've got the dragon very distracted, to say the least, and depending on what we do on our next turn, we could get this dragon more on our side or deeper into this relationship, perhaps. What's interesting is Norm would be up next. Now, Norm, you don't have to do anything. In theory, you're maybe not the person to be leaping in to persuade the dragon, but you could try if you want to talk to this dragon and not make the, you know, put us back into a fight necessarily, but up to you, whatever you'd like to do.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but I am the, if the dragon wants to eat us, I'm the first person in line, right?
Yeah.
In theory, Ehrlich the Warlock is very bite-sized of all of our characters, for sure. I'd also point out, though, Ehrlich is our other very persuasive character. So,
yeah.
Can I use my...
Is
it my turn?
Whose turn is it?
Norm's turn.
Oh, right. Sorry.
You got Norm on your brain.
Yeah.
Big guy.
You got Norm on his brain.
You should just smack him.
Fuck out of Ehrlich?
No, just like an open-handed slap. Ehrlich's getting out of line right now.
What's
he's
going on
off.
Here? No, I want to kill this dragon.
You can definitely leap in to attack the dragon.
I'm going
to
defend my guy.
She will remain distracted by the griffin still a little bit, so you can still attack her.
I mean, we have dragon eggs.
Yeah, but you're C-blocking Blake.
Yeah, but I don't want. Hank's right. I'm being a good team player. Hank is at risk. He's a little bitch, and the dragon could kill him in like he's like a little bite-sized muffin.
He's an amuse-bouche, and Billy is inside Blake's stomach right now. I would almost like for Billy to see this new dragon get re-horny again, and then have the dragon just absolutely roast him and kill him again. I want Billy to keep getting
Billy's
rejected.
Billy's dead.
Yeah, but he's inside Blake's stomach.
So what do you want me to do?
That's fine, kill it.
No, I'll do whatever you want me to do.
Let's kill the dragon.
I'll do whatever you want me to do. Do you want me to cut... can I cut Billy out of the Griffin? You want me to cut him out?
No.
I'll cut him out. I'll cut him out of the Griffin's stomach. So now I'm killing the Griffin. Are we cool with the Griffin?
We saved the Griffin. We're pretty cool with him. He helped us in a fight in the hatchery.
Don't kill the Griffin.
We could also potentially punch him in the stomach and see if the head
okay,
just
yeah,
doesn't
do that.
Pop out.
Yeah, maybe gag him too. Norm could gag him. Norm could definitely gag him. So see if we can gag him and get Billy out.
You know, the Griffin, since this is what you're doing on your turn, the Griffin had been commenting, you know, I don't feel so well. One of those bites didn't go down so well. So he actually appreciates when you kind of like, you know, give him the hand down the throat, as it were, and go ahead and roll with a plus six on athletics to see if you can poo right in the stomach
16,
and then make him
16. Fill.
That is enough that suddenly flying out of Blake the Griffin's beak, there is a round object that is still wearing a horned helmet, but it is the mostly digested skull of Berserker Billy, which lands at your feet. There is a single bit of flesh around the eye and one eyeball that then rotates around to look around at us, and in theory...
Okay.
That can speak.
I would like to legit just poke it in the eye. Just one good poke.
So
The
eye immediately pokes back in through the skull and like falls through the eye socket. So there are no eyes anymore.
Now we can't see anymore. Right, that's good.
Good. All right. Do I have anything else in my turn or is it next person?
In theory, that'll say
okay.
was your action
Great.
Probably. Unless
Great.
You want to do another attack, you
no.
kind of have more than one of those as a frenzy barbarian.
No, someone else go. Yeah.
Excellent. Well, you certainly got the head in your hand. If you want to grab it, you can.
Okay, yeah, I'll hold. I'll hold Billy's skull in my hand. That's kind of badass. Yeah.
Now at this moment, you're holding the skull, and that is from when from out of the woods another figure suddenly comes sprinting. They were watching apparently from further away. They are not quiet because they're wearing heavy plate armor, but it seems like they are rushing towards this green dragon as though they are trying to save us or rush to our aid. And as he flips up the visor, we recognize the face of Sir O, who has followed us from the village of Greenest, apparently. He said, let's get this dragon. We got to go now. Now, if you want, Norm, at this point, since all you did was grab this head get the head out of the griffin, you could shout to Sir O, no, we're not attacking the dragon right now. If you wanted to, you could call him off if you wish. And then that would bring us to Cake's turn next. Or you could let Sir O do what he's doing, which apparently involves jumping up onto the dragon and trying to put it in a headlock. Seems to be his plan.
That seems pretty cool.
Like, wait, is it me? No,
yeah, Big Cat, you get to determine what you want Sir O to do, and then it goes to Jake.
Headlock him.
Let Coach O cook.
Headlock him. Headlock his ass.
Then I'm going to let you roll for Coach O, the number he needs to beat. The dragon rolled a 1. The number he needs to beat is a total of like a 6. So please roll for Coach O.
14.
14. Coach O has this dragon in a headlock, and he's just flipping all around like someone trying to hold on to a loose fire hose. And this dragon is whipping him around back and forth. He is not letting go. He is riding the Bronco right now.
Yeah.
And he shouts, go Ligers! As his grip upon the dragon. And that would bring us to Cake's turn. Cake, what would you like to do?
Cake, just make sure no pictures of Coach O riding that dragon get out on social media.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm a team player, but am I hurt from my last turn?
You're always hurt.
You are not hurt, actually. You haven't been attacked by the dragon yet.
All right, I'm going for him again.
Absolutely. Were you going to use an attack against him? Was that right?
Yeah.
Were you going to try to use the Earthbind spell upon him again? Is that what you wanted to do?
Yeah, doubling down.
You're going back to the Earthbind?
Yep.
Right. Or you could use a spell that deals damage, or I would also point out that you also could have the spell Suggestion, potentially, if you wanted to try to hypnotize this dragon additionally.
Yeah, let's do that.
Excellent. So already we've got this dragon agreeing with the suggestion that griffin over there likes you, and maybe you should do something about that. Mm-hmm. She's taken that suggestion. You can build on this now. What would your suggestion be?
Let's try to keep setting them up, like Mr. Commenter said.
Can you put some music on? Like, what's a good across the room song for somebody to, like, look at and, you know, the world stops and you just zoom in on them like it's
Sexual Healing?
Sexual
Imagine
Healing.
Dragons.
Oh, there we go. Thunder?
Nice.
Thunder, yeah. Thunder nice. Can he play Thunder by Imagine Dragons?
He starts to play Thunder by Imagine Dragons to set the mood, as it were. Since the name of the spell is Suggestion, I feel like that's enough. I feel like you have created a highly suggestive atmosphere, and so I'm going to roll a saving throw for this dragon. And the dragon has rolled a total of a 12, which is not enough. At the very least, you have a spell save DC of 13. And the dragon... You see, she had one raised eyebrow as she was trying to fight off Sir O. She turns to the griffin again. She raised an eyebrow, and then she raised her other eye ridge. And you see that her eyes start to get a little sparkly. Mm. And you're starting to think that to her, this griffin looks very heroic, is cutting a very impressive figure, and that she would like to talk to this dragon. And she says to you, Cake, who is that? Who is that griffin? What is this creature? Who is he? And she's asking you now, right now, you've still got your move. You could roll a persuasion check on her right now to convince her of whatever you want.
All
right,
let's roll in regards to hopefully high. I'm due for a high roll, so.
Absolutely.
Your technique on rolls
so bad,
is ridiculous.
Jake. Just so bad. Jake's never, ever rolled anything ever.
Do you know how to roll dice, how to cast a die?
Just go with one hand.
Do it for dramatic effect.
All right, go ahead. Don't...
10.
There you go. Good roll.
Now, no way. Can he roll twice? Do the your way too. Let's see which one's better.
See which one's better.
12.
12. Okay. All right.
All right. I'm getting some respect back from my team.
Stick with your way.
Absolutely. So we got a 12 on that one, and unfortunately, I'm sorry to say, you only have a plus one on this. With a 13, you are definitely getting her to admire the griffin even more, but it is unclear what she is going to do to Sir O in just a moment. It still looks like she might tear Sir O off her neck and throw him in her efforts to go talk to that griffin, which brings us to Erlik's turn just before the dragon gets to do anything. And Erlik, you're the most convincing of maybe any of our characters in some situations. You have high charisma, same as the bard. What would you like to do right now?
But I'm also closest to getting attacked, right?
You are kind of in theory. Well, I also want to point out that while you're the most bite-sized, you don't have the least hit points. You have 31 hit points, and Cake the Wizard has 26. Mm. So it kind of like, in theory, Cake the Wizard might be in a little more danger than you.
Yeah, you're nice
high
and
charisma,
Hank.
I was thinking of using my turn to dip set and just get out of dodge, but I guess I will use my
After
turn.
After I tried to save you? I'll remember this.
I said I was
I'll
thinking about,
I'll
it's called
this.
Fight or flight. I think both
this.
Things, and I'm
I
gonna
will
fight.
Remember this.
I guess I'm gonna use my powers to cast a convincing spell on the dragon.
Absolutely. Since you also have second level spell slots at this point, you would also have access to the spell suggestion for argument's sake. Let's say you have that right now. And what suggestion would you like to make upon this dragon?
Well, I would like to know. I have a sneaking suspicion that this woman that PFT is trying to smash is actually in cahoots with the dragon.
I'm not trying to smash. I'm just...
I think the woman and the dragon are in cahoots to steal our dragon eggs.
I think she's a very interesting person.
So I would like to find out from the dragon if her and the woman are in cahoots.
Mm. Absolutely. I will roll the saving throw versus suggestion as you ask that you should tell us that information. The dragon... Ooh... The dragon rolled a 14, which I believe against your spell save DC, which has just become 15. That is not quite enough. And the green dragon turns to look at the human woman who has rushed into this battle after us, watching this whole scene kind of hanging back behind us. That dragon says, ha ha, working with her? A silver dragon who disguises herself as a human?
Oh, my God.
I would never.
So the woman's a dragon.
It's a dragon after all.
I hate silver dragons, she says.
Damn.
Okay.
Now, you still can make a persuasion check upon her right now, Erlik, if you wish to.
Yeah, let's do it.
Oh, I'm sorry. No. You've used your move to get here. You just cast a suggestion spell. You still have your bonus action, which means you can command your little familiar, your imp. I'm trying to remember the name.
Bob Costas was the name, yeah.
Well, Bob Kotsis was the name of your little kobold who is currently following you around, and he's one of our minions. I want to point out you had an imp that you had recently acquired. You had named it after your cat, I remember, Hank. But I'm
LeBron.
Absolutely. Excellent. So you got your imp.
Baby Bron.
Yeah. It's LeBron.
Excellent. So you got your little imp with a scorpion tail. If you would like to command this imp to do anything, it can turn invisible and do things, just so you know.
Yeah, it's called Game 7.
Oh.
Roasted.
It was actually Game 5 against the Mavs.
So roll and then decide what my imp will do.
Lost in six.
You could give it specific instructions. Yeah. If you want to do anything, it could fly over and sting somebody, or it could whisper in somebody's ear or something, or it could do nothing right now. You could keep it hanging back on your shoulder.
Yeah, I don't know really what it could do. Like, I don't think the imp is going to be able to kill the dragon. Maybe if it whispers to the girl, like, let's fuck this dragon up together.
Absolutely. So you're having your.
Why doesn't the girl just turn into a dragon?
The girl is a dragon, Hank.
Well, is it a girl or is it a dragon?
It's a dragon disguised as a girl.
Right.
Right.
So we should get the girl to turn into the dragon and then fight the other dragon.
But it is a dragon. You're saying reveal yourself as a dragon.
Yes.
Yeah. I got you. Okay. Yeah.
I would let you roll a persuasion check for your imp, who has a pretty big bonus. I think it's at least a +3, but you can roll for your imp to see how persuasive your imp is when it whispers that.
20!
Whoa!
That's nice. 20.
That's how you do it, Jake.
Your imp whispers, and your imp is like, don't worry, I'm great at this. And when your imp flies over, it starts guilting this human woman, like, yes. Don't you feel like real bad for all this trickery? Trickery is not very nice, and the imp is, of course, a master of trickery, knows how to mess with people's psychology. And you see this human woman start to look bad. She lowers her head, and then she, with a roar, suddenly begins to grow. Her silver robes transform, and suddenly before us is a silver scaled dragon that is decidedly larger than the green dragon. It lets out a roar, and the green dragon immediately starts cowering and says, this isn't fair. What are you doing here? And back and forth, they start to talk in Draconic, which means that Cake, at the very least, you would be able to translate. And what you're able to pick up of the conversation is that the dragon, the green dragon, is highly confused by our suggestion spells and is explaining to the silver dragon that, I was originally here looking for something. I was sniffing something out that I was searching for. I'm working under orders. I'm looking for something right now, but now all I care about is that damn griffin over there.
Oh.
I need to know why are his feathers so golden and his crest so majestic? Why does he like me? And the silver dragon just begins to laugh and chuckle to herself and then whispers to us, well done. I think that this green dragon could follow us for quite a while without realizing that we have her under magical spells. Congratulations. It seems that she is well taken care of here. This green dragon is an evil creature, but you have tamed it most impressively.
Yeah.
I am sorry for my deception. My name, you can call me Elia. But the moment that I sensed your dragon eggs, I immediately had to seek you out before she was able to catch you. And she's kind of whispering this to us while the green dragon cannot hear us. Do we have anything to say to Elia, the silver dragon?
Who's mad? That's what it sounds like to me. I don't know. So it sounds like there's a little rivalry going on right here.
Yeah, they've been. We're in the middle of this.
Yeah, it's a cat fight.
Yeah.
Greeny meanie.
I feel like we just got to. We lose our focus sometimes as a unit when there are female of any species involved. I feel like
are you pointing the finger at yourself now?
We got to get back to basics. We got to get back to broing out.
Yeah.
Go back to our man cave. We got all these eggs.
Yeah.
And we need to stop collectively die shaming.
Yes, we need to die shaming.
Well, you have to start rolling better dice. Yeah. We'll start.
It's
we'll stop shaming when you start
my
getting
team
higher
is
rolls.
Me.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So let's. What should we? Let's figure out like one decisive action that we can then leave for the people. So like, what's our next big decisive action?
I want to hatch my own dragon, like our group dragon.
Right.
So that we have collectively a child that we're raising now.
Can we make them fight each other? Can we make them fight each other to the death? Can we be like, yo, you should have heard what she was saying about you before you showed up, dude?
You could absolutely roll to make these dragons fight each other. Right now, Ellie is suggesting that she could probably convince this green dragon to maybe keep following us around.
That's such an Ellie thing to say. She Ellie needs to have like one little hanger on that tells her that everything that she does is great. Her hair always looks awesome. And meanwhile, it's all about Ellie. I want them to fight. I want there to be a blow up. And then I want to go back. I want to hatch our own dragon, mm-hmm. and then we'll have a son or a daughter to look after.
Absolutely. Go ahead and roll then the check to see if you can convince Elia to fight this green dragon.
That's another 20. Fight.
Absolutely. Elia says, I am absolutely ready to show you that I can fight this dragon, because I agree. We shouldn't try recruiting a green dragon. They can't be trusted ultimately. Magic, sure, can control them, but I don't trust that dragon, and I'm going to show you how we good dragons take care of the evil dragons. I am a silver dragon, and we are one of the good dragons. And when I defeat this dragon, I'm going to show you how it goes, and then I'm going to explain to you why it is I, among the silver dragons, who should be helping you hatch all 8 of the eggs that you have. Because if we have me and get rid of this green dragon and then have all 8 of those other eggs under our control, those hatchlings, then that means that we are only, and she starts counting, 8 eggs plus me, we just need 2 more dragons on our side. And then we might have enough of a force to take on the enemy dragons. I sensed your 8 eggs, and that is why I came to seek you out, because I have never seen so many eggs clustered together that we could hatch. And together, we need 11 dragons to accomplish something against a team of enemy dragons. And if we have your dragons on our side, then we can maybe offer a group of contenders in what we call the Dragon Wars, but among humans and elves, you have a different name for it. You call it the Dragon Bowl.
Ooh.
And if we can get our 8 dragons that you have, plus me, plus 2 more dragons, she looks at the green dragon and says, no, I'm about to fight her, then we might have a team that we can assemble to fight in the Dragon Bowl.
Okay, so now, do we want to kill this green dragon now? Now we probably say, hey, let's keep the green dragon for roster depth, because it wouldn't be bad if we had 12 in case someone gets hurt.
Yeah, I mean, you can always go next man up,
right?
If we have a dragon get hurt now, but is that going to mess with team chemistry? Is that a locker room cancer?
Can we end maybe with that? Can we like ask the green dragon, like, yo, you going to be chill about this? Like, are you going to do your job? Are you going to buy in and be a team player?
You see, first of all, Elia, like, oh, this is good. We're going to recruit this person just like we're recruiting the eggs. And we see the green dragon start to look around confused and go, sure, yes. And Coach O is shaking his head and offering some warnings that he does not see team chemistry really coming together.
What if we go
with that adult green dragon?
Vet minimum plus incentive.
Poisoning. Yeah.
So it's like Coach a low
can,
risk.
I mean, Coach O can recruit them to buy in, right? Like, we can get this guy to buy in. Yeah.
Yeah.
Coach O, Sir O says, I'm going to need to talk to this green dragon. I'm going to really need to convince it and get it, you know, working as a team unit. But I think you let me talk to that green dragon, I'll be able to take care of it.
I think we trust Sir O.
I don't know if I like JUCO transfers coming into our squad, though.
I think we trust Sir O to get this dragon to buy into the team and be like, hey, you come here, we can win some championships.
Okay. Well, tell you what, we'll give it a spot.
Yeah.
But we're going to keep it on a very short leash.
Okay.
Can we have Cake put, like, just one of those earth binds on it so it's actually on a short leash?
Mm-hmm.
She says, if you let me talk to that griffin, then I'll let you cast an earth bind spell on me.
Huh. Okay, we'll keep her happy with the...
Yeah,
keep
try
her sedated
it.
With the daddy dick.
Yeah, try it. Try it.
He's having a long talk with the griffin while wrapped up in these yellow magic bands.
Okay. And then, so where do we leave this off? How do we leave this for next time?
So Ellie is going to let us know that it sounds like if we're recruiting this green dragon who introduces herself, she says her name is Nyalaptia, our latest recruit. Okay. Then she says we're only missing one dragon to fully flesh out our team. We've got to hatch these eggs and I'm going to help you with that. But then there's one other thing that we need. If we're going to be contenders in the Dragon Bowl, our team needs to go to Dwarven Mines where a certain crystal grows by which the armor, which the dragons wear, are made. We need our team uniforms. And right now, we don't have any uniforms. So we're going to need to go get our team some uniforms next time.
I like this. Yes. Color Rush. For sure. Alternates. Throwbacks.
Let's get the visors going.
Let's do it all.
Next time, we'll have to decide uniforms. Or are we getting our last team member? Or are we just going into Dragon Ball?
Okay. Awesome. Well, Tim, thank you. We're excited. Also, just to make sure that I understand, I'm still holding Billy's skull, right?
You are still holding it.
All right, I want to smash it.
Absolutely, you're able to smash it on the ground.
Yeah.
It explodes. Perfect. There are noises coming out of the shattered skull. Good. But they are now muffled and withering.
I'll take a little piece of it with me. That's it. I'm take a little piece in case we want to reanimate him later so we can kill him again.
Yeah, like a necklace.
We'll take
little
one of those.
Of the skull.
Can I just crush up a little bit of his skull and just snort a little and then piss on the rest?
Yeah, that's perfect.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Okay.
All right. Tim, thank you as always. We really appreciate it. We'll see you soon, all right?
Such a pleasure. See you all soon.
All right. Thank you, Tim.
See you, Tim.
Bye.
That episode of Dungeons & Dragons is brought to you by our very good friends over at...
Whether you're searching for a home to buy or you're just obsessed with looking at homes for sale, Redfin's got you covered. Redfin updates their listings every 2 minutes so you can find the home that's just right for you. You can favorite homes, share listings with others, and even schedule tours with a local Redfin agent all in the app. When you're ready to buy, an experienced local Redfin agent can guide you through the whole process. So download the Redfin app today to get started.
And now, Goldberg.
And now for something completely different.
Okay, we now welcome on a very special guest, one of the baddest men alive. He's got the Georgia Bulldog Cup. It is actor, wrestler, podcaster, Bill Goldberg.
Football player, you know him as Goldberg.
Football player.
Let's talk actually.
Forgot the most important part.
Yeah, let's talk football first, Goldberg, because we're football guys. This is a football podcast. You know, that's our bread and butter. Your Georgia Bulldogs, they just are so disappointing year in and year out. What's up with that, man?
Yeah, it's amazing how they hover up to, you know, in the top five or top ten, but I mean, obviously, it's a weird season, man. They didn't have the best showing last weekend. They pulled it out. But Auburn's a tough game. I mean, after playing them four different times throughout my tenure, let's see if they got some cojones this weekend.
I like that.
But you like them. You like them against the Auburn Tigers.
Breaking up. And this is I'd say the scariest thing in the world is to have a Zoom break up with Goldberg because I can feel the I can feel the frustration on your face, and I'm terrified of you. I've always been terrified.
No, dude, it's all good, man. I do this podcast in my sleep. You know, it's all good. It's all good. Getting ready for the weekend, man. I get nothing else to do.
Mow
220 acres.
Whoa.
That sounds pretty awesome. That sounds incredibly relaxing.
Hold on. Do you have a playlist for that?
I do not. I just like to listen to the great outdoors, man.
Okay, well, we got a guy who's got a playlist that we could maybe get you on the one.
Got a little bit of everything on there.
Yeah, so we'll hook you up with that.
You got it.
My most important question for you is, I think you're an all-time traps guy. I think you have the best traps maybe in the history of the of the human race. I think that's fair to say. What's your trap secret?
I just have a horrible neck from the onset of your football career, and you have to do traps every day the rest of your life.
So it's like it's compensating for not being able to work out your neck. You just get the traps muscles to become so big that they kind of blend into your neck.
Well, it's in addition to the neck. You know, you got to do one. If you don't do one, you might as well not do the other. But, you know, it's a support system, you know, for those shoulder pads.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, you do have incredible neck muscles. Your wrestling career, fantastic. I was always a fan. The spear was electric. It was, you know, when you had the WCW versus WWF wars going on, late 90s, early aughts. You started, though, 173-0. People are saying there should be an asterisk with that. Do you? What do you say to those people?
Why should there be an asterisk to it? That would be my first question, because I was a guy and did it as opposed to a girl doing it in the WWE.
No, they said that maybe it was a little like you got 173 wins so fast that, you know, it's almost impossible to go 173-0 and do it as quickly as you did. I mean, I watched a lot of them. You speared guys quickly. But do you think sometimes maybe it was a little too much too fast?
Oh, man, I was on the road 220 days a year my first year. So, I mean, I don't think it's out of the ordinary that it could have happened the way that it did. But, you know, the streak was a creature in and of itself. You know, as good as it was coming down to its demise, you know, it was a tough thing to get out of. So as honored as I was for being that guy to go 173-0, it was a huge burden every night at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like you said, you're a football guy first. You know, you played in college, you had a cup of coffee in the NFL. At what point did you realize that you could make the transition to becoming a wrestler? And was that ever like a backup plan for you?
No, never a backup plan. I mean, I had my older brothers had ties with the wrestling industry, you know, when I was 3 or 4 years old. My oldest brother roomed with Patera, and my other brother had a house with Ric Flair. So, ironically, it was in my life way before I actually even knew it. But, you know, what got me to do it was the fact that my accountant called me one day and said, you know, you weren't an all pro. You surely didn't bank a lot of money. You might want to get off your ass and go figure out what you want to do the rest of your life. And I had no plan. You know, I had zero plan. The only thing I aspired to be was an NFL football player. So when that got taken away from me because of an injury and mostly because of my lack of talent, you know, I hit a brick wall at 180 miles an hour. So I had to figure out what the hell I was going to do. I really didn't have a backup plan, even though I had, you know, was a psychology major. It doesn't mean that I was going to go out and start telling people how to run their lives.
That would actually be fantastic to watch you be like a therapist or have, you know.
That's a television series right there.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. And then like if the person starts, you know, getting too emotional, you just spear them and you're like,
absolutely,
pick your life up, mm-hmm. get back to work, or I'll spear you again.
Yeah, I'll really give you something to worry about.
Yeah.
I do love how your signature move was the spear, which is essentially, it's just a tackle. So you're, you know,
perfect
demonstrating
tackle, yeah.
that you're a football guy through and through. You don't need like a fancy gimmick. You just hit the shit out of somebody. When you were starting your wrestling career, did anybody suggest to you, hey, you might want to come up with something that's not just a tackle? Or were they just straight up impressed from the fact that, like, the perfect form tackle is always going to be something people want to see?
Well, I just remember the first time I was, you know, getting ready to go out. And we were taping at Universal, and the guy looks at me before I went out, and he goes, what's your finish? And I said, what do you mean, what's my finish? And he goes, well, whatever you do, it's got to be spectacular. And so I went out there, and I told Manny Fernandez in the ring to tuck his head between his legs and kiss his ass goodbye, and I hope you trust me. And that was the birth of the spear. You know, the jackhammer came from Sarge down at the power plant. You know, I guess Malenko had done that overseas in Japan, and he did it from the top turnbuckle. And so I obviously was never going to climb to the top turnbuckle. So I just put my own little flair to it, made sure I could do it to everybody 400 pounds and under, although there was an asterisk there with the giant or with the Big Show. But yeah, I thought it was a pretty good combination, but it paid tribute to my football days.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was something I didn't have to learn.
Yeah. And you were amazing at it. Was there one spear in particular that you look back on and that was like, that was the most electric one? That's the one that, you know, if they could remember me by, that's the one.
Oh, I'd say, I mean, the Christian spear has been played, you know, millions and millions of times. I'd say that one was picture perfect. There were a number of people that I did it on that I was very appreciative of. So that might have given me, you know, positive feedback for myself other than the quality of the spear. But
I'm watching the Christian spear back right now. That is so fucking good. That's so electric. Just perfectly timed up every second of it.
I mean, that has everything to do with the success of the Spears, the guy taking it too.
Yeah. Yes. That's a good point.
What's the trick to selling a spear? Just like letting your body go limp and just letting you just cut them in half?
Absolutely. I mean, it's all about relaxing. It's all, and you know, one little trick is you get the guy to elevate. Steiner taught me that one. He's like, let me jump before I hit you. I'm like, you know, that sounds kind of cool, but dangerous at the same time. But, you know, like I said, it was, you know, 10% Goldberg and 90% the guy taking it.
Are you still a vegetarian?
I was never a vegetarian. I don't know where that came from.
That was like the biggest rumor I remember back in the day, being like, can you believe Goldberg's a vegetarian and he's this fucking jacked? So that's fully debunked because...
Absolutely. I got 20 longhorns on my property, for God's sakes. I'm not a vegetarian.
What's the longest you've ever gone without eating meat?
Probably 2 hours.
So you were a vegetarian.
You're the number one vegetarian in the world. You're the most famous vegetarian for 2 hours at a time.
Exactly. So I am a vegetarian, just in shifts, in between my cannibalistic eating.
Wait, you eat humans?
Ooh.
Did you just admit to eating humans on our podcast?
Well, I like that.
Yeah, I throw me in the list of other wrestlers that during Corona are making up stories about themselves.
It is it is the new diet, the intermittent vegetarianism. I do it for several hours a day, off and on.
Yes. What did you hate Goldberg?
I did in the beginning. That, you know, I had no sense of humor. I didn't really, in the beginning, I took the business way too seriously. I mean, I did and I didn't. The fact of the matter is I had to be Goldberg, you know, like 24/7, you know. I had to psych myself up and I had to be that guy. And that guy didn't come with the many niceties. But once I understood why people do the things that they do and looked at that more so as flattery than it was an insult, I got it. I didn't want to rip his head off when I met him. He was a good dude.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I'm happy that that they were able to provide him a job throughout, you know, making fun of me.
Right.
Yeah. And you had a very long, obviously very successful career. In terms of football, you know, your career usually peaks, I think you peak athletically in the NFL between like 25 and 28, somewhere in that range. But in wrestling, even though you stopped playing football because, you know, you had an injury, you didn't make the team, you go into wrestling and you peak a little bit later and you have a longer career. At what point do you think wrestlers peak athletically?
It's all relative, man. I mean, I went through the ringer in football. I never thought that I'd be able to lift again once I retired. I tore my abdomen off of my pelvis. I never thought I'd squat again. Never thought I'd do anything. So it's all relative. You know, everybody's got a different story going in. A lot of the guys like myself that were beat up going into the business, you know, I was literally one of the luckiest people that ever laced up boots. It wasn't a passion of mine. I wasn't obsessed with it. I looked at it as a business. I was successful. I was in the right place at the right time, the right package, I suppose, we put together. And, you know, I suppose I was worthy at the time by being there at the right time to have that streak. And the fact is that if I had to get beat up all the time and you know, truly have year after year of 220 days on the road, I wouldn't be in the physical condition I'm in now. So it's all relative. It's hard to say who's going to peak when at what age because everyone has a different story coming in.
So how did that work with your recruiting to Georgia? Were you, did you go on a bunch of scholarship trips? Were you deciding between a bunch of different schools? Because that's kind of an aspect.
Oh, yeah, dude. I was the top defensive lineman out of Oklahoma. College was a completely different story.
Right.
You know, college was, it was, that was different. I mean, I could have gone just about anywhere I wanted to. I wanted, ironically, as I sit here in the state of Texas, I wanted to go to UT. But after my trip to Georgia and after meeting Coach Akers, the last place I wanted to be was in Austin. So, you know, the lineage at the University of Georgia and Coach Dooley you know, being recruited by Ray Golf. I mean, it was a wonderful experience, and I couldn't have gone to a better place.
You also,
I mean, I grew up in Oklahoma, right?
Yeah.
And I was right down the road from OU, and they were within the top five. Switzer was the coach. If he would have been the coach anywhere else, I would have gone. But there was no way I was going to grow up in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and go to college an hour and a half, 2 hours away. I just wasn't going to do it.
Huh. That makes sense. Because, yeah, I mean, I've heard a ton of stories about how Barry Switzer was such a hell of a recruiter. I'd imagine he, you know, just his personality made you want to reconsider. But I understand not wanting to be, like, in your backyard. I'm going to Georgia.
Yeah, within 5 minutes of Switzer being in my house, he had his shoes off with the crown on the rocks in his hand laying on my couch. So, yeah, Switzer was the guy, no doubt.
Yes.
Did he show up wearing his, like, one of those robes? You know, he would have those, like, almost Cruella de Vil.
No, but I do remember. I do remember that year. I do remember that year, or a year before, him recruiting, a picture of him recruiting Troy Aikman on the sidelines of Troy's game, wearing a full length mink coat and having some of the OU cheerleaders with him.
Yes, yes, he was.
All I can say are those were the days.
Do you still hate the University of Florida?
Oh, absolutely. Till the day I die. No question about it. It's just one of those things. Them and Georgia Tech.
It's crazy looking back on your last year at Georgia. You were the only player on the team to be drafted in the NFL. That's got to be – that can't happen many years for the Georgia Bulldogs.
No, that just – I mean, yeah, that's absolutely amazing to me.
Yeah. I just looked it up and I was kind of shocked. The final question is brought to you by Cross Country Mortgage, America's crazy good mortgage company. Go to ccmlens.com/take to learn more about your future home buying experience or refinancing needs. Equal housing opportunity. I had one last question. So you do work with ASPCA. We do as well. You're a big cat guy. Are you a cat guy?
No, I'm a dog guy. But
okay.
I mean, I'm cool. All domesticated animals, man. I went on the hill and spoke about dog fighting and cock fighting about 20 years ago. And I'm a big advocate for the dog and cat, man.
I love it.
Bill Goldberg, cat guy and vegetarian.
Cat guy, vegetarian, too scared to go to Oklahoma.
Uh-huh.
yeah, there's just a lot of things out there. But do you still have Goatberg, or don't tell me Goatberg?
No, man, unfortunately, shit. Goatberg, he passed away, man. We gave him back to his...
Damn it.
To his family, and literally the day we gave him back, some dogs broke in. And
But you still love dogs to this day.
Yeah.
I still love dogs. Well, they weren't my dogs. It wasn't my house, so I can't take control for it.
Poor Goatberg. God damn it. That's tragic.
That sucks, man. It sucks. But we look at my Instagram. We had a three-legged sheep here. We had a little bird that we saved. You know, man, I live in Texas now at a place called the Misfit Ranch. We've got zebras, we've got donkeys, we've got longhorn steer, we got all kind of stuff out here, man.
You're Tiger King.
So we'll take them all in.
I love it. What's next for Goldberg in the future? Like, obviously we're going to do that sitcom where you just beat the shit out of a bunch of tech bros.
Mm-hmm.
But then after that's over, where do you see yourself like 20 years from now? Are you still going to like get back in the ring every 5 years?
Oh no, man! I have an expiration date on my wrestling days, and it's a couple years from now because of the slow pace that I'm going at it right at this moment. But you know, there's a movie on the horizon, there's a television show on the horizon. It's just, you know, when we get back to some sense of normalcy, when we're going to shoot again.
Yeah. How much do you bench?
Oh, who knows. I haven't benched in 30 years.
Oh, so all right, vegetarian cat guy doesn't bench.
Mm-hmm. That about sums it up.
Mm.
Just dumbbells, man. You don't need to bench.
All right, how much do you curl?
How much do I curl?
Yeah.
Like for a max or something?
Yeah,
max on curls, right?
I was 30.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know. I work out with 45s on each side. So I work out with 135. So, I mean, you know, I'm weak, man. I'm an old man.
What about in your heyday?
I can still squat 700 pounds.
Oh, okay.
How much do you calf raise?
I don't do that.
See?
Never done that.
What about in your heyday? What could you bench or what could you curl?
I did 525 for three reps when I benched. But I kind of dropped it on myself and would throw it back up. You know, that cheating stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. And, yeah, trampoline
I
chest.
I don't know. I could squat a little under 800 pounds. And other than that, man, I never really did any big lifts.
Yeah. That's same with me. Mm-hmm. I don't do other than squatting under 800. Just I don't do the big stuff.
If I go above 800, I get worried because the bars that we have in my gym, they bend too much. And so I'm afraid I'm going to snap it when I do.
What an outrageous thing to say. Yeah. A little under 800 squatting, but I never did the big stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, man. I mean, I wasn't that big. I mean, I was a big weightlifter, and I still am. I train every night, but I'm not a numbers guy. I don't go in there to see how much I can lift. As long as I can, you know, use 200 pounds and I can crush that thing for 10 to 20 reps, I'm good with anything. I don't care about
weights. You still look like a beast. You're still a legend. And we appreciate the time. Whenever you're back up to New York, whenever all this ends, we'd love to have you in studio so we don't have to deal with the Zoom. And maybe I would let you spear me.
He's soft. It'd actually feel very comfortable, like a pillow, massaging your traps. When
I think the Zoom cut out again.
Yeah, guys, big time. I'm in New York. I'd love to stop by. It was a pleasure. And you guys be well. Have a great week.
All right.
You too, go man. Dogs. Take care.
Yes, go Dogs. I bet on them. Thank you, Goldberg. Appreciate it, man.
That interview with Goldberg was brought to you by our great friends at Roman. Most guys have tried different ways to last longer, but thinking about baseball doesn't always work. Maybe you've got something stressful coming up. Maybe you've got a big rock, paper, scissors competition coming up against a rival basketball team and their head coach, and you need to figure out a way how to last longer in bed, hypothetically, if you're a NCAA basketball coach out there that might be in the market for something like this. You should use Roman Swipes. It is the secret to longer lasting sex. Roman Swipes are a clinically proven way to last longer in bed. They're effective, they're easy to use, they're fast acting, they don't require a prescription. Roman can ship swipes to you in discreet, unmarked packaging. And each swipes packet is small enough to hide in your wallet for whenever you need it. They're super easy to use. You just take the swipes out of the packet, you swipe it on, let it dry, you're good to go. That's it. And we're giving you a sweet discount. Go to GetRoman.com/take. Get your first month of swipes for just $5 when you choose a monthly plan. That's GetRoman.com/take and get that first month of swipes for just $5 when you choose a monthly plan.
All right, let's finish up with Guys on Chicks. Guys on Chicks.
Hey, Big Dick Daddy Hank, PFT, and Big Cat.
That is true.
I'm a Big Dick Daddy. Mm-hmm. I've been exclusive with the guy for 5 months, but don't know if he'll ever ask me to be his girlfriend. P.S. We live 350 feet apart from each other. Please help.
Is this like a stepdad situation?
Yeah, what's going on here? 350 feet apart.
College.
College. So if you're exclusive with somebody for 5 months, help me translate that. Does that make you...
They'd be like, fucking...
Somebody is somebody else's boyfriend or girlfriend.
Correct.
It sounds like you think you're
She's
his boyfriend.
Yes.
But he is like, hey, we're exclusive, but we're not dating. That makes no sense to me.
Move dorms next semester and see if it's just... ease of access.
Move 500 feet away from him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes. Although, this is the old genie bus, Phil Jackson, the key to love is to live close and visit often.
That's true. Maintain separate apartments.
Yeah, there you go.
Hey, guys. So I've been dating my boyfriend for about 3 months now, and so far everything has been going great, and he's amazing in every single way.
Cool.
He's an AWL and recently got me into the show. I even get along great with his family and friends. However, I have become slightly concerned about some of their... guys being dudes behavior. Specifically what they have slated as beat jokes, and with a capital T, so BEA capital T jokes. Emphasis on the T. I still don't totally understand that part, but it's what they say. Anytime anyone mentions anything along the line of beating something, they completely lose their shit and giggle like school children. It's gotten to the point where we'll be scrolling through Netflix and my boyfriend will replace the titles of the shows with beat related items. Example: Pirates of the Caribbean, Dallas Beaters Club, Law and Order, Special That's Beaters good. Unit, That's and good. So on. It's even to the point where all their fantasy football names in the league are beat jokes.
By the way, that's not a... It's even to the point. that has been the names of those teams for a very long time.
It's
those are dynasties.
It's to the point
those
now.
Those are franchises that have been around for like 100 years.
Where he will send me new beat jokes that he finds in his everyday life. Should I be concerned, or is this just a phase that will pass with time? Please send help. It's increasingly difficult to have a normal conversation without him or his friend slipping a beat-related joke.
So it sounds like the
beat, I mean, this happened. It sounds this happened
like
to me.
The joke has become the joke right now. Like it's become one of those things where it's funnier to see the different places. How much time you can spend in making a beat joke is now funnier than the actual joke. And can I just? I feel like there are a lot of people out there that are just as confused as I am right now. What does BEAT capital T mean? Do we know?
Well, I mean, I think it's beating your meat, but is it something different?
Is it?
That's what I assumed it was. Billy, this is why you're here, Billy.
Still beat, though. It's like, I don't know, I think it's like if you sleep with someone and then they
doesn't matter,
like,
had sex.
Yeah, it's like it's still beat, though.
They will also, like, every phase that a guy has ever been in, they will grow out of. Because that is... It's like everything in life. Like, men are half brains until they're 25, I think is when your brain fully develops.
Mm-hmm.
And you think back to anything that you thought was the funniest thing in the world 10 years ago, probably not doing it. You probably do callbacks.
That's why my Twitter name is Hennies.
Why?
Because me and my friends used to do that with, like knees.
With knees, like the body part?
Like,
I thought it was a play off of the alcohol.
No, it was like knee padding. No, like we would call each other like knee padders. Like if you said anything that's like sucking up, you'd be like, oh, you got knee pads on. You'd be like, oh, what up, Dan Knees? Like PF Knees.
Yeah.
Nice.
And then when I was making my Twitter, I'd be like, oh, you know,
like Hank Throatwood.
Hen Knees.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Okay.
Got it.
All right.
Wow, that's vulgar, Hank.
Yeah, that's really good.
I just never change it. Yeah, Billy.
Yeah, sure. If you want to figure out a way for him to stop doing it, I don't know. I didn't get a tone from the text that she was sick of it just yet. She's just kind of, she's puzzled by it a little bit.
She's got to join in the fun.
If you're sick of it and you want him to stop, then you have to get in on it.
Correct.
And then he'll be like, oh, God,
correct,
chicks are making the joke?
Correct.
That's
not
lame.
Not cool anymore.
Chicks are talking to me about sex? That's gay.
Yeah, not going to do it.
Hey, Big Cat PFT and Norm's dick holder. My boyfriend has recently won a lot of money gambling during the restart of sports. To keep me at ease, he tells me that it's going towards my future ring.
Nope.
Should I believe him?
Nope.
Thanks, and take Norm to the vet.
Nope.
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 I mean, does Johnny Sins go to the vet?
No, I'm saying no.
No, he goes to the doctor.
No, good point, Hank. But nope, it's not going to your ring.
Ron Jeremy's never been to the vet.
He's called the hedgehog, bro. I'm pretty sure he does not go to an MD.
Hey, guys, recently found out... Oh, this is a crazy one. All right. Hey, guys, recently I found out the guy I've been dating doesn't come when we have sex. I figured it out because one day I was doing laundry and picked the cum rag off the floor and it wasn't hard. I said something to him and he started freaking out and explaining how hard it is for him to come and that he's been faking it for a while. He told me he used to throw the condom out the window with his ex-girlfriend so that she never found out. He then started crying and apologizing. It was a super awkward situation and now we never have sex because I'm no longer interested.
What?
Because he didn't really move the needle for me and clearly nothing is happening for him. He now cries when I say I don't want to have sex with him. Is this normal or should I run? And not crying like complaining, crying like actual tears come out of his eyes when I say I don't want to have sex.
First of all, you're the dick.
This sounds like the weirdest episode of CSI ever. She's like going through the hamper, extracting the washcloth out, putting a UV light on it, and it's like, no, it's not crunchy enough yet. There are some medications that do that.
Well, I was going to say maybe flushes antidepressants down the toilet too.
I think like SSRIs do that.
And then he might start coming.
That's why he's crying is because, first of all, he's depressed. Second of all, he's not nutting. And then you're making fun of him for not nutting and being depressed.
Yeah, this is fucked up. You're fucked up.
I
stand with this guy who can't come.
Mm-hmm.
Never been a problem for me. Yeah, Billy?
Spit. If you're a guy who can't come, just spit.
Yeah,
on their back.
Yeah, that works.
Oh, yes. Oh,
yeah, to fake it.
As that everyone works, knows, the only place to come is on a woman's back.
Mm-hmm. On the
just spit on the back.
Aim for the dolphin tattoo.
She'll never see it coming, baby.
Hey guys, sorry, Big Cat, about the Badgers. How can you tell if a guy is serious about having a relationship or is just trying to fuck?
Mm.
what's the difference?
I think if you're asking, then it's he's just trying to fuck.
Mm-hmm.
Like this is like the old like if you ask you can't afford it. If you're asking if he's into a relationship or just trying to fuck, he's probably just trying to fuck because you probably would know if he's in for a relationship.
I think you got to fuck to find out. Just fuck around, find out. I think it's like if you keep fucking, that's how 90% of relationships get started, is you fuck enough, and then eventually you start to like the person that you're sleeping with.
Or if you want to have a relationship and he doesn't, just get pregnant.
Or fake a pregnancy.
Yeah. Grab that spit on your back and put it up your pussy.
Okay. All right, last one. This is real. It's one of the best ones we've ever gotten.
Okay.
Hey, guys, especially Buff Cat. Fake.
It's very real.
It's from Big Cat.
When I was a baby, I was separated from my identical twin. We got in touch with each other about 6 years ago after I saw an exact lookalike of myself in a picture on Facebook. We've been speaking ever since and even got a chance to meet in person about 2.5 years ago. As you can imagine, I had a very rocky childhood and I don't talk about it much. I've been dating my boyfriend now for 7 months and he has no clue about my sister. I've never had the courage to tell him about the situation, but I do like him a lot. Enough to finally reveal her to him. Me and my long-lost sister were hoping to meet up this weekend in my apartment while my boyfriend is there and surprise him. Is it fair game to scare the crap out of him or way too early in the game?
Oh, my God.
Identical.
She could be Lindsay Lohan in The Parent Trap.
Yeah.
But this...
Freaky Friday.
Scare him.
Full House.
Scare him.
I think you got to scare him. And here's the thing. If you don't record it, then it's worthless. Then you're just like pulling a prank on him that's mean. But if you tape it and get his reaction, I think the clout that will ensue after that, he'll be willing to overlook that.
Yes.
And then maybe just hint at the fact that maybe one day he could have a threesome and never give it to him.
Mm-hmm.
Just keep him happy with that aspect.
You should also try and do – if you're going to do it, you should try and do it like where your sister wears like the same thing but a different color. And then like, you know, you leave the room and then she comes back and like see if he notices type deal.
Uh-huh.
Yes. 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 I want to see this video. Even if you don't want to share it virally,
just text it to
send
us.
It to us.
Send us, or you can ask your identical twin sister to bring her boyfriend over, have them hanging out like in the house when he gets home, and then she'll be making out with that guy, and then get to see his reaction. Then you walk out. I mean, this has the opportunity to be like
a murder,
the all time punch.
Yeah,
yeah.
PFC just scripted a murder.
Uh huh.
Always be like a too much said.
Oh man, do it though.
Just
do
have
it.
Ashton Kutcher walk
do that.
Out and then
do that
I'll
idea.
Be forgiven.
I love that idea of having you making out with your sister making out with her boyfriend and he walks in and then you walk in right behind him and be like, "What's your problem?" Tape it.
You got to tape it.
This is like a once in a lifetime opportunity. Shit. All right. That's our show. Friday, by the way, we have
56
NFL preview, and we also have a great interview with Robert Eiler, who you may know as AJ Soprano.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking awesome interview.
He's a great
awesome
guy.
Interview. All right, numbers.
56. Sticking
18, with 8.
69.
Are you sure you don't want to pick 45?
I'm going to go with 69 time
right.
We pick. Because
I thought 45 was your favorite number.
And even when I'm not here, I'm still picking 69 because 69 is going
to
come up.
No, you don't get to pick what you're doing if you don't come to work.
No.
16.
15. No, 8. I'm sticking with 8.
I'm just sticking with 69. And if it hits on a Sunday, I'm not here, I'll be so pissed.
What did you guys pick?
56.
18.
I have 16.
I hate that everyone's picking the same numbers now because I don't like...
No, well, Hank, you got to float. We need a floater.
Well, if 69 hits...
I know the 17 hits.
I always
so
pick
heated.
A different number.
Here we go. 56. Here we go. Here we go. 8, 8, 8, 8, 8. Rex Grossman, baby.
25. Shit. And still alive.
Picked before on August 30th.
Whoa. Okay. All right. We'll see
everyone.
Well,
my fun fact.
Oh, yeah.
Is
go ahead.
Bats can actually see into the future because they predict where the insect. Never mind.
Yeah, everyone's going to have coronavirus.
Yeah, did they see the pandemic coming?
Wait, I want you to expand on that.
Bats
can
see bats use echolocation to locate their prey.
Uh huh.
And bats have gotten so good at using echolocation, they can predict where an insect is going by processing the spatial information.
As a quarterback, when you see a receiver running across the field, you don't throw it to where he is. You throw it to where he's going. You do that,
they
too.
They say that they predict
the future. I guess that's
predicting
the future, though. Uh-huh. Kind of.
Well, I can predict the future. It doesn't mean I'm right.
So any good quarterback can predict the future. Daniel Jones cannot.
I think it's more like watching tape on like in basketball and like knowing that this is the move the guy's going to go to like at the end of a game. Like LeBron is definitely going to go flop
so quickly,
you know, throw his head back.
Yeah, so he's
talking to the ref,
but he's talking about like real time,
more like fast simulations in their brain using exact.
Really, you do that when you drive a car. That's what you're doing the entire time.
No. Echolocation.
Yes, but you're doing with your eyes.
No, you know, I don't think you understand echolocation.
I don't get it.
I read an article.
Oh, that's dangerous.
Yeah, I wasn't able to synthesize in a smaller bit.
No more articles.
Too many words. Yeah, love you guys.
Take